This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza, although we will get into that in just a few minutes. So ever since I decided to host this show, people have been all of a sudden asking me about where they can find the best pizza in New York. And this question is daunting to me, not only because I still have a lot of pizza eating left to do, but also because, like best friends or favorite foods or, you know, favorite children, as I always like to bug my parents about, it's hard to pick just one. So our guest today solved this problem in a rather religious way, actually. Rich Greco is a designer and a professor at Pratt, who has been ranked by Forbes and Business Insider as one of marketing and advertising's most creative young geniuses. But while that's all very impressive, what we really care about here today at Pizza Party is his greatest accomplishment yet, as far as I'm concerned, which is the creation of a website and concept called the Feast of St. Pizza, where he and four friends did a pilgrimage to 10 of the maybe best or, you know, 10 of
top
pizzerias in Brooklyn and New York in one day. So they're very loyal disciples. And the journey is complete with, yes, a very interactive and beautifully designed website. So, Rich, thank you so much for being in the studio with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. So before we get to the pilgrimage, I'd love if you could just highlight for us or explain sort of where your obsession with pizza came from. Was there one influence? Was it a slow journey? Like, how did you come to...
Let's see. So I definitely had an interest in art my entire life, but I kind of knew the names of the artists like Leonardo and Michelangelo and Raphael, and you kind of get where I'm going here. So when the Ninja Turtles came out, I immediately attached to that, and they obviously were obsessed with pizza, and since then I kind of made it my obsession as well. So that's where it started, and it kind of grew from there.
A Ninja Turtles original.
So I think so, yeah.
You watched, and you were like, they do make pizza look so good on that show.
Yeah,
it's like so melty.
And they're in shape, too, so it feels like it's healthy for them.
Right.
So, yeah.
Really, like, this, you know, children's nutrition people would not. That was like the early days of product placement. They were like, yeah,
it's
you could be ripped and eat all this pizza.
It turned green, but it's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We haven't gotten into the Ninja Turtles yet, but definitely a key influence for me as well.
Totally.
So, who were your fellow worshippers, and how did you choose them? I mean, you gotta choose wisely with this kind of thing.
To varying degrees, they're all about almost as obsessed as I was. There's a guy, Ben Gruby, he works with me. He was really into pizza. A friend of mine, TJ Ryan, he's from Minnesota, but he's moved to New York. He's kind of a New Yorker now, I guess. He'd like that I say that.
Yeah.
But he's a pizza fan now. And then this guy, Johan, from Sweden, he is pretty well educated in Swedish pizza, but I work with him as well. He's a big fan of like the New York pizza scene, I guess, too. So the four of us kind of collaborated and made a day out of it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Swedish pizza, we'll have to have him on to like...
Yeah, he's got something about in the works. Yeah, it's kind of under wraps right now, but I can
keep me posted.
Yeah,
Swedish pizza, I'm curious. So where did the idea for the Feast of St. Pizza originate?
I guess if the idea is to go to multiple pizzerias in a small time span, I went to DeFara and then L&B one evening, and that was kind of like a really nice juxtaposition there to do that. In one night, I felt like I didn't have to do anything else for like the rest of the month. Like, that was pretty cool to do.
Right.
And then a few years later, a buddy of mine, we went to Joe's, Ben's, and Artichoke down by like West 4th area.
Mm-hmm.
And we called that the Threetzeria Challenge. And we did that a few times. So it expanded. It's like, well, I know I could do that. And I know I could do two. So let's just go all the way to 10. Because there's always the top 10 kind of lists that you see. And I figured, let me kind of look at those lists, figure out what my list is, and figure out like a trajectory and, you know, cram it into a day, and then make sure I have the next day to relax.
Yeah, so was it a Saturday?
We all actually took off of work on a Friday.
I'm sure your employers are really glad to do
it
that.
Was cool. It was cool. No, you know, we got...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely sanctioned. And then we did it the whole day, and then it ended pretty late, and we rested for the most part.
Right.
Yeah, but two of the pilgrims didn't do as well. They did throw up at the end of the journey.
I was so going to ask that question. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems physically...
I wasn't one of them, obviously, but...
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. I would expect you wouldn't be the leader. Yeah. You can't show weakness.
It's
but so what did it feel like? Like, I've seen a lot of, I don't know if it's a new phenomenon or just like a thing that I've been reading about lately, like a, you know, 10 donuts in one day or 10 this, like the eating challenge for the average person seems like really physically uncomfortable. How was it for you guys to just go through?
It was spread out from, we started at noon at Totono's down in Coney Island. And I mean, a large part of this was the overlap of what we thought were our favorite ones, what I really like remember as like being my favorites throughout Brooklyn and Manhattan, and then also like just a trajectory that logistically we could do it within a certain time frame. So I had like lists of when places open, when places close, when they close for lunch, that kind of stuff. So we started pretty fast at Totono's. We got a whole pie, so we each had two slices, which was kind of a little bit ambitious of us. And then
it's cocky.
Yeah, exactly. so like then we did LMB next, which is like a pretty heavy square. And then we allotted for DeFar to take like the most time, which was not as long as I usually would wait. But so then that gave us like a gap to kind of digest, and that felt like breakfast. And then so we drove up and went to some other spots, and that was like the lunch. And then we started to drink, and that became like, as long as you think of it like a one of the three meals, it was easier to
right. You hit time.
Yeah, and we even went to an extra one. We went to Prince Street in the middle there, and we divided a square into four. So.
Prince Street's great. I went there recently.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's similar in my taste to like to the L&B slice, but it's got fresh out of the oven is pretty good.
Yeah. And so you drove. You didn't walk, because one of my strategies would be like the walk in between. You know, I had friends come recently, and they wanted to do is eat and walk, because one's from LA, the other's from Boston, walking. But like the walk and eat phenomenon is key. But you drove.
We drove from the first few places. So. Totono's, L&B, DeFara, Best, Weeded, and Poly G. We drove throughout Brooklyn, and then the last spot was Weeded, and then we took the train in to Manhattan and walked around Manhattan. So we kind of took any form of transportation that allowed it to happen.
To go smoothly. Yeah. Okay, so you're walking near the end where you needed.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a personal question, but obviously the Feast of St. Pizza, sort of the branding, the language, the iconography is religious. So... Mm. Are you religious, and why the decision to equate pizza to this very, you know, religious
pilgrimage?
I
grew up pretty religious. I kind of had a good experience with religion, but I understand that there's some humor in their vernacular, and I think that applied itself to any type of worship. And in this case, we tried to overlap the evangelization of this Holy Land kind of mindset of New York. So, and TJ as well, he's from Minnesota, he had a religious upbringing, so we both were kind of, throughout the day we had like an Instagram post at every place, and each of them were kind of, you know, religious heavy in their, like, in the humor and the hashtags and stuff. It was all about like phrases and saints and different words you used when you talk about, you know, the like the secular kind of side of the things.
For
so
sure.
Yeah,
for sure. So what was your sort of positive experience growing up with, did you grow up Catholic or?
I grew up Catholic. Yeah. I hear a lot of, it's, I mean, we're shifting the focus here, which is interesting, but I went to Catholic grammar school and then an all boys Jesuit high school. So, but those guys were pretty smart. Like Jesuits are pretty smart dudes. So, they were, nothing was like forced on us. So that was kind of cool.
Right.
So, but now you know, contrast that, definitely forcing this pizza agenda on followers and anybody listening. Yeah,
I mean, but they were willing participants, or at least
your four
friends were, right?
Yeah.
And so what did you take for your design influence for the project? I mean, was it just based on sort of what you knew?
I tried to look at reference that you know, it's pretty obvious that the final design is, you know, the cross and the slice, but I took like reference of something that anybody could draw or write in the sand or do with chalk, and then just kind of solidified it and made it like a structured geometric shape that I felt like you could see it like on the wall of a church somewhere, like mm-hmm. it could exist. So I wanted to feel like there was history behind it, and then it was just kind of modernized and repeated and remade for current day kind of thing, like as if I found it versus I designed it.
For sure. Yeah it does kind of look that way. Maybe not, but did you get any like backlash or offend anyone? Like, did you have anyone from the internet come and be like, you're disrespecting this?
I think it was okay. Yeah, it was pretty well received for the day that happened. It wasn't so widespread, but it was anybody who read like kind of the terminology we use was understood the humor in it.
Yes.
Which was the hope, but
yeah, I think the humor is very clear, but you always get those people on the internet that are like trying to start a fight.
Take
it too far. So did you have a favorite slice? I mean, I know that wasn't really the point, sort of these top 10 type things, or some people are out seeking the best slice or the perfect slice. Do you have a memorable slice from that?
From that day?
Okay.
So before that day, I kind of knew going in my favorite spot, just based on the nostalgia of it and the way it's kind of unique, is the L&B slice. It's the only square we had that held, besides Prince Street, which we snuck in.
It was an extra.
Yeah. But so I thought going in, you know, that would be the best. And it was definitely, you know, we tried to have the signature slice at each place, or like something that only that place does really well. But coming away from it, Weeded, which just opened, and it's a, I mean, it sounds like I'm being biased because it's a buddy of mine. He opened it. But the slice we got there was potato, gorgonzola, and plum reduction. And it was right in the middle, too. So it kind of like cleansed it. I don't know if it cleansed the palate. It was definitely a different taste.
There's a break. Yeah,
it was good.
So, I mean, where is it?
That's on Church Avenue and Coney Island Avenue.
Cool.
Right below the park.
Nice. And what style are they doing?
I guess electric oven, but it's kind of single serve. Not Neapolitan, but like kind of newer.
A personal pizza situation. Yeah. Cool. So what was sort of your process in it sounds like you had to do a fair amount of research to map it out. So can you sort of talk a little bit about what resources you used, how long it took you to plan? Did you take input, or you were sort of like the leader of the pilgrimage and just...
Yeah, I looked at the lists from like New York Magazine or, you know, Time Out, or kind of any publication that had like pretty much a lot of overlap in certain places. So I used those and marked those down. But again, like I said, whatever kind of worked in a linear path, so that I didn't want to pick certain places. Like I know Patsy's is great, but it's way up north, and it kind of would, 10 was the number I wanted to hit. So I avoided certain places. I mean, Roberta's as well. It was a little bit off the trail, but I mean, there's always next year for certain places.
For sure. Yes. And we will talk about next year.
Soon,
but just one more question before we go to our news brief and then our break. You have a shop on the site, and it sells things like consecrated chili oil, icons, relics, New York holy water, which I thought was especially funny. So I'm super gullible, and I'm wondering, are those things real, and has anybody ever ordered them? What? Or is it just a joke?
They are. It's both. They're real, and it's a joke. We've got one or two orders not online, like I've given out to like friends. And I'm taking their money as well, so it counts as an order.
So the $100 icon, like,
if you
someone
want it,
could
you got,
buy
yeah,
it
someone could
for
$100.
Buy
it, yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's a little pricey for me, but that's the item I have my eye on.
Depends on how devoted you are. That's what it comes down to.
I think I have to do the pilgrimage first before I'm worthy of an icon. We're going to be back in just a second. We're talking to Rich Greco, who is the creator of the Feast of St. Pizza. Before we go to break, though, we're going to do your weekly pizza news briefing. A lot of stuff happening in the pizza world this week. So, first off, a Domino's pizza employee in Des Moines, Iowa, has been issued an arrest warrant after he threw a clip of money at one person and a pizza at another during an argument in the store. This man threw a pizza. The suspect was reportedly angry about the way pizzas were being labeled, I assume incorrectly, and began yelling at a fellow employee. Sometimes that is very frustrating, but throwing a perfectly good pizza is not the answer. We do not condone pizza throwing here at Pizza Party.
It's a sin.
Yes.
Thank you, Rich. In other pizza worker shenanigans, an 18-year-old employee of Papa Murphy's Pizza in Georgetown, Texas, has been charged, I'm not sure with what, after a customer walked in on him rubbing his genitals all over a family-sized stuffed pizza with Canadian bacon, pineapple, and extra cheese. The employee said that, quote, he did what he did because the customer had called in the order right before closing time. That's according to the warrant. He also admitted that he would have given the pizza to the customer if he had not been caught. Quote, that's the terrible part, he said. Again, this is in the warrant. In more somber pizza crime news, a shooting at a Toronto pizzeria called Pizza Time left a 31-year-old pizza delivery man dead and the owner of the pizza place severely injured. Police are still investigating, but it's suspected to have been a failed robbery attempt. Social media gaffes abound in the pizza world these days, as we talked about last week. This week, there's yet another one. A Pizza Hut franchise in Australia angered animal rights activists and lots of other people this week when they tried to help a nearby pet store with a promotion. The sign they put up in the store read, buy 10 large pizzas and get one free small animal from Pet Story. Apparently, they meant free small animal kits, not the animals themselves. I don't know what a kit is, we'll never be sure, but Pizza Hut has since apologized for the mishap, and possibly to distract from that little snafu, the chain has released two new items this week, a skinny slice of apparently low-calorie pizza, which I have no interest in trying, nope, but might for the sake of journalism, and the other, a bacon-stuffed crust, which I might cave and try. We'll see. Danny Meyer's latest pizza venture, Marta's, is now open for business and churning out what they're calling Roman-style pies with their two wood-fired ovens. They're in the Martha Washington Hotel at 29 East 29th, and you will likely find me there this week inhaling their zucchini blossom pizza, which looks phenomenal. So that's your weekly news brief from Pizza Party. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to talk more pizza worship and with talented designer and marketer Rich Greco, who has applied his talents and know-how to the world of New York City pizza. This is Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Still the Best by Hard Bodies.
This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Clay Gordon of thechocolatelife.com, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We're talking today with a very talented designer and marketer, Rich Greco. He created and embarked upon something called the Feast of St. Pizza. You can find the website detailing his pilgrimage at www.feastofstpizza.com, right?
Thefeastofstpizza.com.
So him and three friends ate at 10 pizza joints in one day. He's joined us now. We're eating some Roberta's in the studio, and thanks for being back with us, Rich.
Oh, no problem.
So, on the site, you invite others to take their own pilgrimages and send you their maps and their photos. How many people have followed your lead?
I think between zero and one so far. I mean, it's a long day. I get it. But, I mean, even I think the purpose it serves is if people want to know, you know, some of the best iconic spots, you can kind of get a sense of it without going all the way. And that's, again, why the shop's there, so you can participate in your
take
own
take a
way.
Little piece with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One person, 1.5 of, has anybody sent you a map or no?
No. A sketch of one, but...
Okay. I might be your first.
Okay, yeah.
I want to try. I have some friends that I think could definitely do it.
I think it's cool, yeah. It's not specific. Like, the day it'll happen, you know, hopefully it'll happen forever. You know, it's a real, like a real holiday, like Easter.
So
at that level, yes. But
so are you guys planning a yearly pilgrimage?
I think we're going to try and reprise the whole day, but it might... I don't want to give too far ahead, but I have some ideas that might extend beyond a day or beyond just New York, but it might be tough to figure out. It seems like a lot of work right now to figure out.
Yeah.
And a lot of food.
Move the pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Where would you go? Would you go to another city?
I've read some articles about the Pizza Belt.
Me about the Pizza Belt.
The East... I didn't coin this term. A few people did, actually, separately, and it's I forget the actual... There's math behind it, but it's the East Coast between, like, D.C. and Connecticut, and that's, like, the sweet spot. It's kind of a kidney-shaped piece, like part of the map that we're all like the best pizzas. You have a better chance of getting a good slice versus anywhere out there. It's going to be, you know, you're not going to have a good chance at eating a good slice.
That's very interesting. And that also adds in the element of time, right? I mean, if you're like, let's say you're driving through the whole Pizza Belt, you give yourself more time in between spots to like digest. You probably have to start earlier.
It'd be a holiday weekend, I think. It would take longer than just the Friday.
Well, listen, if you need an eater,
okay, yeah,
myself and probably some other Pizza Party listeners are down. Not to sign you guys up for anything you don't want to sign up for, but come on, a pizza road trip. Mm-hmm. I actually have a pizza road trip sort of in the back of my head, but it's another story for another time. So what advice do you give? I mean, you haven't given it yet, but if I were to embark on such a journey, what advice would you give me? What helped you guys? What would you do differently next time?
I wouldn't throw up, which I didn't, but I wouldn't want anyone to throw up. I think you got to keep it down, otherwise it doesn't count. But I think drinking is an issue. We did start drinking halfway through, which was Paulie G's. He convinced us to have a couple beers and some other drinks there that may be part of his secret menu. So
what'd you have?
I can't. He gets mad. I can't tell you.
Wow. But, keeping it unlocked.
Yeah, I could tell you off air, but he started us, and then from then on we had Caipirinhas at Weeded, and then a pitcher at Lombardi's and John's, and we did actually finish at Artichoke, got a beer there, and then went across the street to Crocodile Lounge just to like rest, and we couldn't fit another. We didn't get a pie at Crocodile Lounge. I think that would have been too much, but I'd say no more than two slices at any place. Mm-hmm. And this way, if you have to sneak in an extra one, you can. And definitely start drinking no earlier than halfway through.
And would you continue to do your mix of alcohol? I feel like that might have contributed to the failure of
maybe
some of your guests.
If you're a lightweight, maybe don't drink as much, I'd say.
But it is padding, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... You are a brander and marketer by day. Do you have any pizza restaurants or brands that really like get it right for you in terms of pizza visuals? Like there,
I know. I'm showing that I'm really into L&B, but I love this. Like they have a neon light outside, just as I think it just says pizzeria, but that kind of thing draws you in. And like the high sign also in the parking lot, some like it's kind of like that flag you see driving up to it. It's exciting, and then. DeFara has the painted sign, which is like super old and it's like weathered, but it still has like character to it. So I think not many places have great branding, but it's because the pizza is so good they don't even have to worry about it. Lombardi's has like the tile over the oven. I figure I think of those as like
the
their branding elements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know they once in a while like they'll make a T-shirt or something and it could be a real misfire.
Yeah.
So
for sure, do you? Have any thoughts or plans, like would you open a pizza restaurant or like branding ideas for a pizza restaurant?
Well, right now I'm focused on just eating the pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I have ideas for names and some marks associated with them, but it's more like I hate to use this pun, but pie in the sky kind of ideas. And I did do the branding for Weeded, which, oh, cool. Yeah, which is pretty minimal. It's outside and then on the menus, but nice. That was cool. And I would probably be interested in doing that kind of stuff again.
Yeah, so anybody looking to open pizza restaurants who wants branding services can get in touch with Rich. So pizza, in a way, it's kind of an active brand itself these days. Like, there's T-shirts, there's high fashion, there's Instagram,
yeah,
there's blogs.
Yeah, everything.
What are your thoughts? The bands, yeah. So what are your thoughts on this sort of, like, proliferation of pizza as a brand? Have you put any thought into it?
I don't think you can oversaturate the market with pizza materials. It's welcomed, and there are good and bad executions of it, but, I mean, everyone's heart is in the right place. I think when you create an overall pizza print, like I think Beyonce had on at one point, mm-hmm. Huge Beyonce fan. I didn't mean to let people know that, but...
there you go. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think it's okay as long as it's pizza.
Yeah. Are we reaching, like, a market saturation point, do you think, or we still have some more pizza?
I think it might plateau at, like, the ceiling and just keep going. I don't think, yeah.
Beyonce is the ceiling of pop culture, and she has worn head-to-toe pizza by opening ceremony. We're actually going to be talking about that in a few weeks. Hmm. Pizza fashion, so tune in. We're almost out of time, but there's a question I like to ask every guest because it's on my mind a lot, is if you have any thoughts or theories about why pizza is so beloved and sort of this iconic, almost food brand in a way, but just a thing that, like, you and your friends and me and my friends and, you know, a lot of people get so excited about.
I think I have, because I'm from New York, I mean, it's definitely a part of the culture here, but, I mean, overall, it's pretty accessible from, you know, any class can go into their type of pizza. They can go to the 99 cents slice, which I wouldn't recommend, or, you know, the most expensive, you know, caviar top pizzas. It's all still kind of pizza, mm-hmm. but I think it transcends, like, class and even religion in some cases. But
sure.
Yeah, so I think it's cool for everybody.
Yeah, where did you grow up eating pizza?
South Brooklyn. I grew up in Midwood, Dimmis Park area. So
cool.
There's some good spots there.
Do you have, like, a favorite, you know, place you used to go? Or
used to go to obviously LMB again. I keep trying, but
fair. Da Vinci
on 18th Avenue and JMB were cool. good slice spots too, so
cool.
Mix it up.
And what do you look for in a slice of pizza? Do you have criteria? Or
cheese, bread, and sauce.
that's it.
Yeah,
keep it simple.
Yeah,
great. Well, we're out of time, but we will of course leave you with the slice of the week. This week's pizza recommendation comes from Danny Clow, an account manager at my former workplace Food 52 and the bassist for Bad Man Yells. He's all about Full Moon on Arthur Ave in the Bronx, which he calls the real Little Italy, trying to start fights, clearly. Hmm. You know, chime in on the Facebook or on Twitter at Pizza on the Radio if you have thoughts for or against that statement. But apparently Arthur Ave is where it's at in terms of Italian food. And Danny's into their slice for the bulky crust. So thank you for the tip, Danny. And thank you to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizza for the season and today.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to my sponsor, the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass, for our intro song. Find more from them at soundcloud.com/pizzapartybass. My engineer, Liz, who is awesome. And of course, all of you for listening. Please keep your pizza news, your favorite slices, your enthusiasm coming. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. We'll see you back at Pizza Party next week. And yes, there will be pizza. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.